Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I didn't really think of it in these terms, but I think Todd Bowles kind of made it more clear why Julio Jones was added on the eve before the start of training camp. And, you know, it's kind of simple. It's math, and I don't get math, which is probably why I didn't get this. But somehow, some way, they've got to make up Rob Gronkowski's, you know, 50-something odd catches for about 800 yards and 6 touchdowns. And in as much as you'd like to think that they can do that with Kyle Rudolph, who came over from the Giants, a longtime Minnesota Vikings tight end, there's certainly no guarantee because, you know, Gronk was a special bird to begin with. And so, you know, as Todd Bowles put it succinctly, he says, we got to make up for Gronk's catches. And that made sense to me, Derek Sharp. I was like, okay. Like, you know, I think you have a lot of receivers already, and I'm not sure why this, you know, 33-year-old, 32-year-old that has played or, you know, missed 7 games in each of the last 2 years is the guy that you want to deal with right now. But that suddenly makes sense to me, that you've got to find those targets from somewhere.
It's funny, but you bring that up because, of course, you and Joey did a great job of talking about a lot of topics, and one thing that perked my ears up along many was how you mentioned, you know, could this be new coach, you never know, and more run-based, not run-based per se team, but a little bit. And now you're saying, no, we got to make up those 50 catches.
Yeah, right.
We're still going to have them. That's still going to be a big part of the offense. And yeah. I want to know, I'm sure Julio spoke about it and you'll get into it here, but I want to know who instigated the decision to sign Julio Jones. I'm betting his initials are TB, but do you know? Because I love how it came to be.
Well, it did come up, and Julio was a little more coy about it than, say, you know, Rudolph was, who made no qualms about it. They're like, oh no, I'm here because Tom Brady asked me to come here. You know, Julio had some options too. You know, and again, I don't know what Kyle Rudolph's options were, but with Julio, he made it clear that, you know, he had talked to some teams. I heard him on another interview. He said Green Bay had reached out. The Colts were definitely in play, and even the New Orleans Saints, which, if you think about this division, you go, so it's addition by subtraction there with New Orleans. But no, Tom Brady is the greatest recruiter in NFL history. I mean, if you enter the NFL transfer portal, chances are you're headed to Tampa Bay. You know, that's just kind of the way it works. And he did have discussions with Julio even before he said they knew what Gronkowski's fate was, or, you know, who they were going to get in here, simply because that's Tom Brady. And, you know, Brady will call guys and not too much, you know, give them the hard sell, but just kind of like, it's Tom freaking Brady calling to see how I'm doing, you know? So you take the call, and you know, Jones was kind of funny about it. He says maybe there was, you know, a little something behind that now that I think about it. But as soon as really Tennessee back in March designated him for a release on June 1st, and they do that to sort of spread the salary cap hit over a couple of years. And so Tennessee saved about $9.5 million on the salary cap because they had some dead money with Julio Jones when they signed him last year. As soon as they did that, they gave Jimmy Sexton permission, his agent, who is also Nick Saban's agent, and of course, you know, make the Alabama connection there, a chance to go around and look for teams and talk to teams. Didn't have to wait for his actual release in June. And Julio Jones said from the onset, he goes, you know, Tampa was going to be it, you know, for him. He just felt there was, you know, first and foremost, the only thing missing from his Hall of Fame resume, and it is a Hall of Fame resume, you know, the most, you know, career yards by an active player, receiving yards in the NFL, over 13,300 and something. The only thing missing is a Super Bowl. And ironically, Derek, who took that away from him? They were up 28-3 in Super Bowl 51, and a guy named Brady decided to bring him back.
I'm not going to, you know, try and sneak behind Tom Brady's back and peek at his phone or anything, but I'm just curious if there was something to the effect of, Julio, sorry about that whole 28-3 thing.
That's right.
Let bygones be bygones, question mark?
That's right. Still mad, question mark? Yeah. And the thing is, in that game, I've told this story probably, I don't know, a couple times on this podcast, because we've done it for a while, that was one of those games, just from a print standpoint, when I'm sitting here on deadline, I had three stories I was working on at once. You know, the first story was,
it was, and
I must say the best of the three was Atlanta winning. Unfortunately, that always works out that way, right? So Atlanta's up 28-3. And if you recall, there was a play where Brady actually throws a pick six, and he makes a flailing dive in vain at the defensive back, who returns it for a touchdown. And I was waxing poetic. I was like, this is how, you know, trying to recall, but something like, this is how the dynasty ends. This is how you take the crown off the king. You know, Tom Brady, you know, the last image on the ground, you know, flailing to try to hold on
hit send by mistake.
No, I know. And I had, but you know, 28-3. I mean, come on, it's the Super Bowl. Who's coming back from that? Well, Tom Brady is, of course. And then they started to get closer, right? And then it was like, oh, okay. All right, but they're still gonna win, right? I mean, they're running out of time. Like, there's only like 4 minutes, like, yeah. Okay, so you know, the champion's heart still had a beat, and you know, they were still, you know, Tom Brady was still firing away, you know.
In other words, last year's loss to the Rams story.
Basically, yeah, essentially the exact same thing. And then, of course, he tied it up and they went to overtime. I was all in on the Patriots at that point. I said, they better win this game. Even before the coin toss, I was like, that's it. He's tied it. They're going to win. And I'm all in on them winning, because I'm not going back to the other two. So, of course, he did. But Julio probably had a little different day. Julio Jones in that game was sensational. He made some catches that, you know, obviously helped them build that big lead, but also should have helped them win the game. I mean, he got them back down there. If you recall, it was, you know, a horrible play call by Kyle Shanahan. They're in field goal range of Matt Bryant, you know, within an easy 50 yards. And Matt Bryant was terrific from that distance. And for some reason, they had Matt Ryan drop back. He took a sack, and they had to punt the ball and won any points at all. I mean, any points at all, and that game is over. And then, of course, Tom did his thing. I don't know how we got on this subject, except to say that Julio Jones was owed something, I guess, in a weird way by Tom Brady. And he has come to collect, because that's the missing bobble on his entire career, which, like I said, is a Hall of Fame career. So I think the idea that, we don't know the health of Chris Godwin, who is, while he's not on the physically unable to perform list, he also is not practicing, right? Like, and we probably won't see him for a little while. The reports are good. They love his progress. The reason he's not on PUP, as we said last night, is he has a chance to at least go out there, do some individual drills, do the install, be with the team. If you're on PUP, you're just with the trainer. You're just rehabbing. And so he's gone beyond that. Levante David, who we had a chance to talk to, says he's 100%. I find that hard to believe, but he says he's 100% from that Liz Frank injury that affected him in the playoffs the way it did.
You hear some athletes say, you know, 110% and 150%, 200%. Yeah. So he probably doesn't actually mean 100%. But, you know, for him, maybe that's around 80.
Exactly. Exactly right. Could be 80. So, yeah, there's some observations that I kind of want to sprinkle in here about the first day of training camp. And yes, in case you were wondering, it was hot, but not as hot as it's going to be. It was actually, there was a nice breeze out there. I didn't feel like I was walking on the sun, except late when the clouds disappeared, and that wasn't any fun. But for the
it's funny you say that because I actually, you know, I I had a couple days where I was so busy at USF that I couldn't run. For me, 2 days in a row without running does not happen. So today I went out at like 11 o'clock thinking, well, I got to do it. And it wasn't that bad. It actually wasn't that bad for whatever reason. I mean, it was still
kind of breezy. Like there was some cloud cover and even somebody said something like, well, how do guys do under the heat? And Bowles gave it the, this was an easy day.
It was.
The way you do it, you come out, if you're at One Buck or the Advent Healthcare Center, whatever they call it these days, the way you measure the misery index is to simply look at the big flag. And then there's little flags too. But if the big flag is draped around the pole, oh, it's a bad day. It's a bad day.
Flag is not only draped around it, but sweating.
Exactly. Dripping. Dripping with sweat.
Imagine being a human being.
Exactly. I mean, you can see that flag from space. That thing is huge. But if it's not moving, and it takes a little bit to move it, I'm not going to lie. But if it's completely just wrapped around, it's a bad day. So the key is to duck in and out of covered places, maybe a fan, and it's nice to come home to your air conditioning. Except this is my big segue to our sponsor. It's unfortunately the AC is blasting all the time, and that means your electric bill is going up. But I got a solution for that. May Electric Solar. They're a family owned and operated business. They've been installing solar electric systems for 12 years. Now, in this field, you know there's a ton of these little fly-by-night companies, but May Electric Solar is committed to you for the long term. They guarantee their workmanship with a 30-year labor and services warranty. Plus, with every installation, you get $750 worth of surge protection for all your appliances. That right there is the May difference. So if you visit their Hudson showroom, May Electric displays all of its products. They conduct on-site testing, so you see exactly what they're going to install. Plus, they don't use subcontractors. That's important. You know exactly who is going to be doing the job. So start saving today. Call the solar energy experts at May Electric Solar at 727-819-2862. You can schedule a free estimate. You can lower your electric bill all year long and improve the quality of your life and improve your protection for your appliances as well. So that's May Electric Solar, 727-819-2862.
Now, I got to ask, I mean, it seems like they can just bring in somebody at the last second. That's fine. But I'm guessing anyway, going to be a pretty significant player in the offense. How long do you think, I guess that's what training camp is for, before that chemistry gets there? Because, they know each other, but they never work together. I guess Brady's pretty good at integrating people.
Well, he is, and he's had to do it. And I think that, one of the things that Todd Bowles said that made sense, because we were like, why now, why him, all that kind of stuff, in addition to just what we got to make up Gronk's catches, was look at how the season ended last year, right? When Tom came back after 40 days of cleansing or whatever he was doing, he said that he had unfinished business. And part of the problem is when the year ended, they were very much wiped out of receivers. Now, some of that was self-inflicted. Antonio Brown, taking his shirt off and getting cut that day at the Jets game. But Godwin had suffered the knee injury on December 20th. So by the time they got to the end of the season and by the time they got in the postseason, they were looking at Mike Evans and then a bunch of dudes, right? They had signed Breshad Perriman, off the street. Now, he had been here in 2019 and had a good month, right, with Jameis Winston. And then he earned him a job with the Jets and then later with Detroit. But he was on the street. And so they picked him up, and he ends up, catching a walk-off, essentially, pass from Brady to beat the Buffalo Bills in a dramatic game at Raymond James. And then they take Cyril Grayson off the practice squad, a kid that didn't play college football, LSU track star, who had been working really hard. And they put him in there, to kind of take up some of that Godwin, slack. And he winds up with the game-winning catch against the New York Jets. So, Brady can and will work with anybody. But he's Tom freaking Brady, right? Like, and he's 45-year-old Tom Brady, and it's a zero-sum game. I'm only here to win a Super Bowl. I'm not interested in leading the league in pass. I don't care about any of that. I just want to win a Super Bowl. And so, as Todd Bowles explained, you know, injuries are going to be inevitable, but we can't have them there. Like, we can't lose guys. And we're starting the season with Godwin coming off an ACL. So we can't afford to lose guys and then at the middle of the season say, well, who's out there? You know? So Bowles' point was, look, why now? Well, because there's a legit dude, a legit, you know, Hall of Fame player who's available, but he's available now. We're not going to see this guy by the middle of the season if we need him. So let's stack our roster with as many good receivers as we can, and we'll worry about, you know, who we cut and who we put on the practice squad when training camp and the preseason is over. But for right now, yeah, it feels good to have these four guys: Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Russell Gage, and Julio freaking Jones. And after that, hey guys, it's a battle royale, you know. And we had a chance to talk to some of those players, you know, like guys like Grayson, who got a call from one of his buddies and said, "What's going on there? You signed Julio Jones, man," and people worried about him and stuff. And Scotty Miller, who, you know, Scott, this is just Scotty's attitude. He's like, "This might be the greatest receiver room of all time." You know, he's like, "It was good before. Now it's incredible. Like, what? You know, it would be awesome to be a part of it, and you got to compete every day." And you know, to a man, of course, they weren't going to say anything negative, but you know, they're sitting there. They can do the math, right? One, yeah. 2, 3, 4. Oh no, there's only like maybe 5 spots. Maybe
that's 7. What I was going to ask you about. If it's indeed like hard and fast at 5, there's a lot of guys that had some serious mixed emotions about that.
Yeah, they did. Absolutely.
The practice squad looms, but whoever's going to be that 5th, I mean, none of those other guys you mentioned, hold on, let me think, no, are going to be your kick returners. So it just might strictly come down to that. It might have nothing to do with what you can do. It's going to have something to do with what you can do as a receiver, but it might be all about kick returns.
Special teams, absolutely. Jalen Darden, you know, that's his only path in. You know, the only way he can get a spot on this roster is to win the kick return job. That might be true with Scotty Miller. It might be true with Cyril Grayson, you know, any of those guys. And they've got to run down, and some of them got to cover kicks now. Because, you know, Godwin's not going to do that. You're not going to do that with Evans. You're not going to do it with Julio. So those first four guys really don't play teams. Well, when you try to figure out, you know, we got to dress 53, and one of those is a backup quarterback, and one of those is a long snapper, and one of those is a punter, and one of those is a kicker. Okay, so, you know, we got 22 starters. Who's running down there covering kicks? You know, and you get to that number, it gets pretty quick. You're like, hey, we can't have, you know, 5, 6, 7 receivers up, even though Arians kind of leaned heavily towards the offense when it came to teams. I think Bowles is going to be just the opposite. I think he's going to lean to defense. So there are very few, you know, hats to give out on Sunday. And these guys know it, you know. And so for as much as they're like, hey, cool, we got Julio Jones. If you're a receiver trying to make an NFL roster, you know, you probably aren't that thrilled with your chances. But, again, you don't know what's going to happen. And you're really – no matter where you're at in a camp, if you're in a camp, the whole league's watching. You're trying to make a roster anywhere. There's 31 other teams that are going to have the same tape. They're going to be looking for players too. Not everybody is stacked at wide receiver. So you just go out there and you get some film, and you hope that you can play well when you get your chances. And then, you know, if it doesn't work out here, or if you pass through waivers and you don't re-sign on the practice squad, you hope that somebody else, you know, maybe claims you or you get a better opportunity. But there's no question that these guys had some real mixed emotions, and, you know, and who wouldn't? I mean, listen, if the Tampa Bay Times hires Adam Schefter to cover the Bucks tomorrow, I'm going to be like, first of all, how the hell we afford him? And then secondly, I'm going to be like, yeah, that's not good for me, is it? Like, Cordy might show his time, Brady. You know, it's like, oh no. So I can feel their pain, but this is professional sports, and you're going against the best in the world. And along those lines, you can turn it around and say, well, who better to learn from? I'm starting my career, and I've got Mike Evans. I've got Chris Godwin. I got Julio Jones. how many tricks of the trade do these guys know? You know, right. How did they get to be so great? So there's a lot of positives to it too, but it's just, you know, it's I'm sure there were some moments of deep reflection when they saw the news. You know, it's like, dang it.
Well, I could be wrong, but I'm not 100% certain that Gage is a lock for the roster. But yeah, you'd have to really do something in camp to, you know, get above him. But let's talk about the other recent signing to maybe make up a couple. I don't know how many catches he's going to make up out of the 50 for right. Gronk. Maybe 20% of those, 30% of those. Maybe. But yeah. what was Kyle Rudolph saying?
You know, impressive guy. Likeable guy, you know, what you'd call like a true pro. I mean, he's also 32 years old. He's played an awful lot of football. Most or all of his Pro Bowls were with the Minnesota Vikings. You know, he got really close once in his career too. Remember the Minnesota Miracle and all of that with the New Orleans against the New Orleans Saints. But they didn't make it to the Super Bowl. And, you know, that's his singular goal. He said something funny because obviously you come in here after a Rob Gronkowski and somebody said, well, you know, the obvious is you gotta play in that guy's spot. And he goes, look, I'm no one can fill his shoes and I've got pretty big feet, and he does. But even he knows that, you know, I'm not going to be Rob Gronkowski. But, you know, he also is Gronkowski-esque in that he can play on passing downs and rundowns. I mean, he's that perfect, what they call the Y position, an inline tight end next to the tackle, you know, who can also obviously one of the eligible receivers, but that can run block and do it all. And you know, he says, for me, it's just a matter of learning, you know, I mean, I know the routes, right? And same thing with Julio. It's like, I know what a dig is. I know what a, you know, what a slant is. I know, you know, a post. I know, you know, a seam. I know all these routes. But in addition to learning the terminology, I got to learn where Tom wants me, you know, against certain coverages, like where is this ball going to go? How does he want me to stem this route? Where does he want me to make myself available? And he says, that's the thing that, you know, we have to really work on before September 11th is sort of whatever chemistry they can build. Obviously you're not going to approach anything that him and Gronk had in terms of chemistry, but you can make a lot of progress. And he said, I told Tom, just let me know when too much is too much, because I'm going to be in your ear, you know, constantly. And you're going to have to tell me back off, because I want to know everything that you know. And so that I can make myself available to you in the passing game. He's a really smart, you can tell he's a smart football player, a smart guy, obviously. Kind of ironic, like he was down in Florida not too long ago before free agency. And I think he had a wedding to go to at Amelia Island. And he says, you know, we kind of got on the plane in Tampa and laughed and said, yeah, you know, this wouldn't be a bad place to come. And then, of course, since he signed here, he said it's just been tremendous people reaching out to him. And, you know, the one thing that he talked about, which I thought was interesting, is the culture of the building. He says he's been here about 3 or 4 days. And he goes, you know, you can instantly pick up the vibe that nothing matters here, not individual success, not depth chart, nothing matters here except winning the Super Bowl. Like, there's not even a pretense of, no, you know, you just do your job. Everybody has to do something every single day, get better, a little bit better every day, because we're only interested in winning the Super Bowl. Like, stats don't matter. Your role doesn't matter. Your depth chart doesn't, like, just go out here and do what you have to do to help us win. And he said it's refreshing because it's not like that in a lot of places. And he's played, you know, for a couple of teams, obviously, and the Giants weren't ready to win and may still not be. But for him, it's really, you know, just about how quickly that chemistry can build. And, you know, and everybody is going to put aside their personal stats and try to win a championship. And it's refreshing. Because he's been other places that, you know, especially the Giants last year, weren't prepared to do that. And he said, you'd be surprised how, you know, teams and cultures are different, in that not everybody is singularly focused on just winning a title, and stats matter to them, or money matters to them, or reps matter to, like, different things. And that's not the case here. He says, everybody's willing to put aside their egos And I think that starts with guys like Evans that have done that, you know, 2 years ago and put aside, you know, their personal stats and let the Antonio Browns and guys come in here and help them win. And it's worked. So we'll see if it works again.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, listen, I think this probably goes without saying that he was pretty sharp today. We've talked about the two big additions to his offense. Here I am giving the offense to Tom Brady. I don't think that's over the line. But did he come in looking pretty good today, or was it just
a... No, it was. You know what, Derek? It amazes me. And I say that because it's not supposed to be like this, right? I mean, now they have some continuity in the coaching staff. And this is Tom's third year in the system. So those things are huge positives, because I think in the NFL, continuity wins. If you want to see a bad franchise in any sport, and believe me, this has been one for most of its existence, you run into the trap of change the coach, change the quarterback. And when you lose continuity, the coaching staff, that's the one thing Bowles has in spades and an advantage, is that he might be the new head coach, but his entire staff is the same one that's been here for 3 years. And so from that standpoint, you know, you kind of expect there to be a lot of familiarity and a certain amount of retention. Right. But the thing about Brady, like, I swear to you, and I said this last year, I think it was a year ago in the mandatory minicamp when I watched them, they could have gone out there today. And this is, you know, of course, nobody's put on a pad, nobody's hit anything yet, but I'm telling you from just a execution standpoint, the Bucs could have gone out there today with Tom Brady and beaten half the teams in the NFL. Seriously. I mean, that's how efficient. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, he dropped. Now, you know, no one's hitting him, right? And you can't hit him. And so he knows that. And so you're always going to, you know, the offense should have a huge advantage because they can't tackle anybody. They can't put any quarterbacks on the ground. They can't really come near him. But having said all that, no one really did anyway. And he gets the ball out so damn quick, and he was so accurate that it felt like they had been together for, I don't know, week seven, you know, like, and that's just not normal in the NFL when the ball doesn't hit the ground, you know. Now, there were some bad moments for the defense, and it reminded me, like, there's this one play where Breshad Perriman split the safeties, caught a perfectly thrown bomb from Tom and ran in the end zone. I went, well, that's why you lost to the Rams right there. Nothing's changed, you know. And so, you know, with every good play on offense, it's a damn on defense. And that's got to be corrected. But no, he just is good at ball. And, you know, at an age well past where his arm should be, you know, efficient and all those things, he can just come out there because he has the cheat codes. You know, you talk to these coaches like Leftwich, anybody's like, look, Tom's got all the cheat codes. Like, you can line up in any defense you want, and before he snaps the ball, he knows where he's going based on the rotation, based on this and that, and he's very accurate, and the ball's like, it's out. It's out, and it's accurate, and that's just up to the other guy to make the play. And so from that standpoint, it was very impressive today. Now tomorrow, maybe the defense, usually these things ebb and flow. Maybe they'll fight back a little bit. But, yeah, the offense had a really good first day, again, against – you know, in shorts and helmets, not right. Pads or anything.
Now, was it on the first practice field or the second practice field?
Yeah, well, it was on the first one. And this, you know, and it's funny you say that because one of the changes that is definitely, you know, palatable when you go out there is that, you know, Bruce Arians had this theory that, you know, I don't want, you know, guys standing around, and especially the young players, they need reps too. And, you know, what's the point of them standing around getting four reps when they could be on another practice field? We have the same practice over there with the younger guys, and they could take as many reps as the starters on this practice field. And Bowles isn't going for it. Like, that's one of the things that Bowles is different with respect to Bruce. And I asked him about it, and he said, look, he goes, you know, we've done that before, and there's some value to it. He goes, but at certain positions, he says it just doesn't work. He goes, like, take tight ends, for example. You know, we have in camp, you know, they may have six or eight tight ends. He goes, but, you know, if you're running a tight end on every down and sometimes two, he goes, it doesn't take long for them to be gassed if you only have, you know, three or four on each practice field. And he said, I really felt like, you know, you can get by in training camp, maybe preseason. He says, but as the year goes on, that catches up to you. Your guys are tired as a result of it. So, you know, and there's also, I think for him, I think he likes the competitive nature of one field, because he does a lot more what they say good on good, where you have the number one defense against the number one offense. But you want to be able to run guys in and out of there in different combinations and execute. So yeah, he's a little more old school. That's how Tom came up, you know, with that sort of mentality. And again, Bowles has worked for Bill Parcells in Dallas. Of course, Belichick is a disciple of Parcells. So it's just, I think it's a little more comfortable for Brady to work that way. And, you know, guys got plenty of reps. It was, you know, a shorter practice because it's only the first one. They were out there for about, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half, hour, 45 minutes, and they were done. And ain't like the old days, Derek, when we used to be out there for 2 days, you know, remember that. And even 3 days, if you go all the way back to Ray Perkins. But, you know, so yeah, it was a really good start for them. I thought Brady was sharp. I think the defense and especially the secondary needs to fight back a little bit tomorrow or today, and we'll see what happens.
Well, you know better than anybody, and I'm a journalist too, that one thing you just don't want to do in general is bury the lead, and we got to talk about it. When exactly and where did Lenny Fournette get on a scale for everybody, and what did it say?
Well, I thought about bringing my bathroom scale, but it's not the most accurate, and I'm not sure he would have stood on it. You know, first of all, he looks trimmer than he did 7 weeks ago, and you would expect that, right? Because he hadn't shown up to OTAs, and then he did, and then, you know, this whole notion of him being, you know, at the time he said he was 240-something. He told someone today, I suppose, that he was around 243, 240, 242, somewhere in there. Which led me to think, well, wait a minute. You were 240-something 7 weeks ago. Does that mean you lost virtually no weight? Which now you get back to what I was talking about, which is he was way over 240. You know, because if he's 240 now, what was he 7 weeks ago when he's been working out all this time? He clearly looks in better shape. And I think he's going to play around 240, 238 because he's a big man. And he you know, that 228 on the roster is from, you know, his combine. When he was coming out of LSU, not what he is now. So, you know, there wasn't a whole lot made. You know, Bowles was completely dismissive, as you would expect, because that's kind of how he is anyway. And he just said, you know, it doesn't matter. You know what, guy's way now. I mean, he's in good shape. I'm very pleased. So, you know, they kind of glossed over it a little bit. And, you know, good on Lenny. You look better than you did 7 weeks ago, but then you should. And, again, the target is September 11th. He's obviously going to, you know, work himself into shape. Bowles even made mention that you don't want to be in too good a shape right now because we're still weeks away. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I don't know if I buy all that. I mean, I think it's easier to stay in shape than to try to get back into shape. But nonetheless, he seemed to handle everything okay. He seemed to handle the heat okay. And, you know, from what I could, the eyeball test said that, you know, he looked better than he did 7 weeks ago, but that just tells me he was nowhere near 240 7 weeks ago. You know, so
of course, more than a donut.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say it out loud because we talked about the, you know, injury situation and anticipating it. And if there was a certain player on the team that got injured, then I think we'd be in different circumstances, But there's quarterback in another team that is going to have an appendectomy. Am I seeing that right?
Yeah.
Have you ever had? I'm fortunate I've never had one. I mean, you can only have one, I guess.
Well, you can only have one. And yes. And I wanted to mention that because it's significant, right? Like, you know, Joe Burrow, the Tiger King. And I miss, you know, Coach O. And Joe Burrow, the Tiger King. You know, I miss that guy. I can't believe he's not in college football. But he did. He has appendicitis. I think he's, I don't know if he's had it out yet. And I can relate because unexpectedly, a couple years ago, it's been several years now, I had an appendectomy. And I've heard of people that have had them, and I always thought, well, you don't need your appendix. Well, how big of a deal is it? Let me tell you, when, and I'm someone that, often, you know, my stomach is a mess anyway. And so I have to stay away from certain foods and fried foods and things like that. But there was a, night in my life where it felt different. It was a stomach ache that was a lot different. And it was just that. It was like a constant weight on one side of my gut. And I let my wife know. I said, this is different. And she's like, you've had stomach ache, like, you know, how wives are. And so she was pretty dismissive of it and went to bed. And the way you know, and hopefully it doesn't get this bad, but the way you know is, so like about 3:30 in the morning, I woke up and I was in pain. And just, it's to the touch. It's on your lower right quadrant of your gut, essentially, on the right side only. And I pushed in my stomach, just the slightest little nudge with my hand, and it was like stabbing myself with a knife. It was so bad to the touch. And I went, I gotta go. And I drove, I kid my wife about this all the time. So you let me drive to the hospital at 3:30. What do you want me to do with the kids? I'm like, I don't know, but I could have died. I mean, like, of course I wasn't going to die. But I had surgery later that day, went in there. I'd already diagnosed myself. They did the sonogram and all that. Yep. You got to get it out. It's pretty nasty. It's pretty inflamed. The one thing you don't want to do though, you don't want to mess around with it, because if your appendix bursts, it can be very, very dangerous. You can become septic, and it can cause a lot of trouble. So Joe Burrow will have one less useless organ in his body, and it's better than a spleen that poor Chris Slims had to endure losing that. That was horrible. But I'm sure he'll be fine. And that's my appendectomy. If you want to be an appendectomy,
also, then it's a good public service announcement too, because you know, you got to know when the signs are. I'll throw mine out real quick because I had that, had the good old detached retina a couple years ago. And
oh, I remember. Yeah.
Listen, folks, here's the signs, and go right to the your eye doctor when you get this. If you start to see what looks like cool little fireworks of black dots bursting out in your field of vision in the distance.
Ooh, is that what it is? Black dots, huh?
Yeah. And it happened a couple times. Like, well, that's weird. And then one day, finally, in the lower corner of my right eye, it was just like a little black dot that wouldn't go away, and it kept infringing and getting bigger. That's when you know you got to do it. So, folks, don't mess around. When that first thing happens, don't do what I did and just go, well, that was weird, because basically it got worse and worse, and my vision will never be the same in that right eye. So there's our health notes. If there's anything else you want to ask us about, maybe the mailbag tomorrow.
There you go. And you can do that by submitting your mailbag question. There is still time. Don't worry about it. Just send it to us on Twitter at SportsDayTB. You can reach me on Twitter at NFL Stroud. My email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. Mailbag tomorrow. I know you got tons of questions. We're getting some in already. We'll do that. And remember to check out our friends at May Electric Solar. You can save some money on your energy bill. I mean, big money right now, which is a good thing to do. They are a company that guarantees its labor and its services with a 30-year warranty. You get $750 worth of surge protection. What else do you want? Call the solar energy experts at May Electric Solar at 727-819-2862. 727-819-2862. You can schedule a free estimate and lower your electric bill. Thanks for listening. For Derek Sharp, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.